Hej och välkommen till ett nytt avsnitt av Healthfulness-podden. I det här avsnittet får jag faktiskt för första gången luta mig tillbaka och bara lyssna på ett avsnitt. Det är nämligen vår fantastiska Sandra som leder samtalet idag. Och gästen är ingen mindre än Michelle Baker. Michelle är en av våra mest önskade gäster sedan vi startade podden. Och hon är för mig känd som någon som är otroligt duktig på att hålla space och öppna upp för transformation. Hon är Sveriges kanske främsta breathwork facilitator och hon jobbar även med yoga och reiki. Sandra och Michelle pratar i det här avsnittet om breathwork och annan form av energimedicin. Hur det kan förklaras på ett vetenskapligt sätt, men även vikten av att våga lita på det man upplever, men som kanske inte går att sätta fingret på. Jag hoppas att ni kommer gilla det här avsnittet lika mycket som jag gör. Och så otroligt lyxigt för mig att bara få njuta av ett så fint samtal som kändes lite som en varm och mysig filt. Och om det är så att du som lyssnar aldrig har testat på breathwork men blir nyfiken efter det här avsnittet, så kommer faktiskt Sandra och Michelle att ha en live på våran Instagram ikväll, alltså samma dag som podden släpps. Så om du lyssnar på det här precis när podden släpps, så kan du gå in på Instagram klockan 20:00 ikväll och vara med och testa på breathwork live med Michelle Baker. Innan vi kör igång så vill jag också bara passa på att tacka dig som lyssnar, ratar, recenserar och sprider podden i sociala medier. Jag är så otroligt tacksam för det. Det är verkligen ni som hjälper podden att växa och nå ut till nya lyssnare. Nu kör vi igång dagens avsnitt. Du lyssnar på Healthfulness-podden och jag heter Nathalie Jonan.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, Michelle, and welcome to the Healthfulness Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here on the podcast, and we're going to dive into the topic of breath work today. But first, I would like to welcome you, and I want to start by asking you what we always ask our guests, and that is, what does health and well-being mean to you?
That's a big question. Health and well-being. I don't know. I think you ask me this tomorrow or the next day, it might be a different answer.
Probably.
Yeah, but today, health and well-being, means taking good care of myself and listening to my body and checking in instead of checking out all the time.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
Oh, several tools, maybe too many. Mm-hmm. Mostly with my breath. Not typically the breath work that I always teach, but other types of pranayama. And one of my dearest coaches taught me a few years ago that whenever I felt overwhelmed, I have a big history of anxiety and overwhelm.
Okay.
Yeah. And whenever I feel overwhelmed, I just place my hand on my heart and ask my body what it needs.
Yeah.
Because usually my brain is going too fast and I'm just disconnected.
Yeah.
And so that's a way to really just to check in.
Mm. That's beautiful. I actually did that yesterday. Yeah. I've had anxiety for the last days. I don't really know why.
Same.
And what I'm a doer. So when I get anxiety, I try all these tools and I shower and I take walks and I call a friend, but I never just stop and listen and be with my anxiety.
Like invite really it in, hard. Like a really exactly. good friend, and see what it has to say.
And that's usually all that's needed. But it's so hard. And I can feel that I'm like squirming around in my seat when I talk about it.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I'm similar too. Like, I think a lot of us are in this industry.
Yeah.
But I'll speak for myself of we have a lot of tools, but so often it might take me a couple of hours or even a couple of days to tune into them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anxiety is an interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. And because you said that you started using breathwork because of your anxiety, is that how it all connected?
Well, yeah, I started using breathwork or tapping into breathwork because of yoga. So that I think a lot of people find breathwork or pranayama practices through diving into a yoga practice of some kind.
Yeah.
And that was because of a really hard heartbreak or a really big heartbreak, which created a lot of anxiety and overwhelm and slight depression, I would say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think I found breathwork through yoga, through anxiety and heartbreak.
Yeah. And that's so interesting because we usually find practices that are really important to us through some sort of pain, which is hard, of course, but it's also a very beautiful way of looking at pain because it helps us.
Yeah, it does. It's like the paradox of pain.
Yeah, definitely. And for someone who's never heard about breath work, could you just explain what is breath work and what do you do?
So there are several different kinds of breath work.
Yeah.
Most people hear them through the word pranayama.
Yeah.
Which is a Sanskrit word. Prana meaning, it can mean breath or a life force. And ayama means to extend. Some people describe it as, like a manipulation of the breath.
Okay.
Of some kind. The breathwork practice that I teach the most is a very active style of breathwork. It doesn't really have a name. The teacher I have for breathwork, his name's David Elliott.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's called breathwork healing. And sometimes it's called emotional release breathwork or trauma release breathwork. But within this realm of active breathwork, and where we're getting more into the sympathetic nervous system instead of the parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
There's like 6 or 7 different kinds that I know of. And each one has a slightly different intention, I've realized.
Okay.
The pattern can be similar, but the intention feels slightly different. And the length of time that you do them is slightly different. But it feels like the intention behind this particular practice, the breathwork healing practice, is to really help the body clear more so the nervous system. Clear out anything that's stagnant or old or needs help moving. For me, it also feels like the breath can go into the body where the mind just can't.
Yeah.
And so it's a very somatic tool. And it's just offered a deeper sense of healing and a deeper connection to my body than any other practice has before. And that can be bittersweet as well. I have a whole history of disassociating with my body for so many reasons.
Yeah.
So the practice of getting into my body has been a very slow and steady one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I find breathwork as well. So I got burnt out last year and I think we talked about this before prior to the recording, but I had a severe case of heart palpitation and that's hjärtklappning in Swedish for those who didn't know. And the only thing that worked was breathwork. And I got introduced to breathwork through Wim Hof and his method. And I guess it became mainstream with him.
Definitely.
So what type of breathwork does he use? Because he has his own, right?
It's said that his is also from a very ancient practice from thousands of years ago in India called TUMMO. I hope I'm saying that correctly. T-U-M-M-O.
Yeah.
Which is, there's this book called Breath.
I have it, actually.
By James Nestor.
Yeah, I got it this Christmas.
Oh, it's so good. Have you had a chance to start it?
Yet.
You're going to love it. I have so many things underlined and dog-eared. And he has a bunch of practices at the end. Mm-hmm. But he's actually who I learned that from. I know Wim Hof has a book, but I haven't read it yet.
No, me neither.
But he talks about the ancient practice of Tummo, and he talks about Wim Hof and holotropic. I don't know how to pronounce that one either. And the different styles. But yeah, it's said that it's a very similar, if not the same technique as the ancient technique of Tummo breathing, which was incredibly healing as well and used for similar purposes.
Yeah. So how many different type of techniques is breath work?
Oh, within the active style, I mean, there's so many.
Okay.
There's Wim Hof.
Yeah.
Which might be similar to Tummo, those holotropic or holotropic, I'm still not sure how to say it. Mm. There's transformational breath work, there's rebirthing, which I heard. I teach breath work all around Sweden.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of years ago, I was up in Sundsvall, and I had a couple ladies come in, and they were saying that they had been to a breath work practice before, but not quite this one. And afterwards, they said it was very similar to rebirthing breathwork, which they used to do back in like the 70s or 80s down in the south of Sweden.
Wow.
She said the music was a lot different, but but it was a similar approach. So there's that one. There's shamanic breathwork, which I think has a lot to do with a drumming practice as well.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few.
And you said there's active breath work, and what's the other thing? Is there different types?
Well, I feel like these more faster paced breath works, or I don't have a better word than active. And then the other ones are more of like a soothing style of breath work.
Okay.
Or it's how I separate pranayama from breath work, even though they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Whereas more maybe breathwork practices that are done in and out of the nose to soothe the system or soothe your parasympathetic nervous system, like the rest and digest. Whereas this, at least the technique I teach, is more getting into the nervous system by way of the sympathetic nervous system. And so it can be very activating on the system. I don't know if you felt that with Wim Hof. I haven't practiced it, but I'm sure it's also very activating on the system. You have body sensations, emotions.
Yeah. I get like chills or shivers around and like get all these sort of emotions running through my body, and I can feel coldness in my legs and then in my arms, and it's moving everything around in the body, which is so weird and interesting.
Yeah, it's such an interesting experience. One of my teachers described something this way, and I've been using it for breathwork as well. But when someone asks me to describe breathwork, I usually say it's like a fruit that you've never tasted. You know, you need to have the experience of it.
Yeah.
I can tell you about it, but... And then every experience is different. I don't know if you felt that with Wim Hof as well, where you're doing the same pattern. Maybe you're listening to the same music or silence, but every experience is a little bit different because of so many circumstances around you.
Yes, definitely. So I've tried his method, and I've also tried another pranayama technique where you use two inhales and one exhale. Is that the one you use, or which one do you?
Okay. It's two. So it's an inhale into the belly, an inhale to the high lungs, and then a very effortless exhale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens in the body when you use that type of technique?
A whole bunch of things can happen.
Yeah.
And what I feel happens on a more experiential level is that the body can have a physical response and or an emotional response. And kind of like we just talked about. So the physical response when you're in the active practice of breath work can look like a tingling that comes over you, or like this effervescent feeling. Where you're really feeling like your cells vibrate and your frequency. We're all made of energy.
Yeah.
So you're beginning to feel your frequency. And then that sensation can stay steady if you're feeling that sensation, or it can go into a whole spectrum of other sensations, all the way up to something that feels incredibly uncomfortable, like a cramping of the hands or a cramping of the mouth or a big heaviness of the limbs where you feel like even if you wanted to lift your arm, you couldn't. So this is, and that can happen in anywhere in your body. I usually say anywhere that you have a muscle, pretty much everywhere in the body. And that can mean different things depending on maybe what you study or what other knowledge that you have. Maybe it's of Chinese medicine where they talk about how different organs can hold different emotions. Or there's some, my teacher, David, also talks about different body parts that can hold different things too. So maybe why you might be feeling a cramping of the hands is because your hands are an extension of your lungs and your heart. Right. So that's literally the meridian of your heart and your lungs goes down into your hands. And so maybe there's something that your heart's holding on to. Whereas the more scientific version is of the carbon dioxide in the body is making that happen. So it kind of just depends on if it's the more science route you want to go into or the I don't want to say the more spiritual, but or the more alternative way of going through it.
And that's what I love about breathwork, because I love both the scientific world and also the spiritual realm. And I actually think it's the same thing. And like breathwork kind of connects those worlds.
For sure. I can see that 100%. Well, and also in the Greek, I think it's in the Greek language that the word for breath is, I'm also going to butcher this, spiritus or something like that. And it means spirit.
And breath in Swedish is anda, which is also a way of saying or take on spirit.
Oh, I didn't know
spirit,
that.
Yeah, spirit in Swedish is ande. So
oh,
it's
that's so beautiful.
It's connected.
Same.
And I, when I started doing breath work last year, because you mentioned like tensions in the body and almost like a spasm, I got that. I was never afraid of it, and I got it last night as well. That's why I remembered it. And I'm reading a book about completing stress cycles right now. And that's apparently something that can happen when you hold a lot of stress and emotions in your body. And when you're completing the cycles, it's like your body needs to move. And that can be a very spasmic feeling, almost like you're possessed by a demon or something. You're like shaking and tensing, and it can be quite traumatic, but it's also so releasing. When something like that happens.
Especially if you feel like you're in a safe space to move through it. Because then you know that, you know, you're going to be okay. And then you can see what the other side of that feels like. Because I think that's the same thing that happens within a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack, but I've had anxiety attacks, and I think they're a little bit different.
Yes.
But I know some people have come into breath work and have begin when they start the breath pattern, they feel like the similar sensations that you might feel when you have a panic attack. And they said that they knew they were going to be okay. And that experience was so healing because they know that they can control their situation if it were to happen again.
Yes, definitely.
Because
you teach breathwork in both one-on-one sessions and classes and retreats. And I've never had a breathwork session in a group of people. Is that different?
I think so. I don't think it's for everyone. Simply because it depends on what your triggers might be for trauma within your body. Because people might be making noise. Within the classes I teach, I have people make a collective noise together. So we go through a collective yell or a roar or something to move, to get some energy moving or stagnation out of the way. And to get people deeper into their bodies. And then we might go through like a collective laugh together. So within the groups I hold, the noise is a little bit more collective. Mm. But just hearing other people breathe or hearing somebody cry next to you, if that's the case, or even just hearing a big group go through a yell can be very traumatic on the body, especially if you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
And so group setting isn't for everyone, but it can be also incredibly helpful to hear somebody else go through an emotion. Mm-hmm. It can be incredibly helpful to have a big yell in a group together where you're not just hearing your voice. So it really just depends on the experience. I haven't personally been into a group in person in a long time. Mm. The only other one that I know that really teaches in group is up in Umu, at least the style of breathwork.
Yeah.
And my teachers are all in the States. So, but virtual breathwork can be just as beautiful too, in the sense that you're in a community, but you're also alone, you know, in your own home even.
Where you feel safe and secure.
Yeah. I was just, I just had a, one of my students write to me the other day who's doing virtual breathwork online for the first time.
Yeah.
And she said how she felt like she could really let go so much more than she could in person.
Yeah.
And that she didn't feel like she had to hold space for others, which is what we typically do.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a space holder in general, which we all are.
So. Yeah. Wow. I would love to try that. I unfortunately have never tried any of your classes, but I really want to do that. But we've had listeners and I have friends who've been to retreats that you hold and also sessions by you. And they are amazed of how transformational breathwork can be.
I mean, yeah, there's, I haven't felt and I haven't experienced, I don't think, another form of medicine quite like it. I think that's why I've become so obsessed with the breath. Because it's so fascinating that you don't have to be from a certain background. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be a certain sex. You don't have to be from a certain place. All you need is your breath. You don't even need another teacher with you. It can just be you and you. Nothing outside of you. And it's so incredibly healing.
Yeah, and that's powerful. That's empowerment, that you can be whoever and breathe. And we all breathe.
Yeah, even plants breathe. We all have access to it.
Yeah. Yes. So, and our breath is so connected to our well-being and health.
100%. Especially when you dive into that breath book.
Yeah.
Oh, it changed so much for
me. Yeah, that's why I wanted to get it, actually, because I've been in fight or flight in almost my entire life, and I've never really realized how much my breath can impact the way I feel and my body, and how my breath is like so shallow and high up in my chest when I'm stressed.
And
it was such a new field opening up to me when I realized that. And I realized it through actually my stress rehab thing I did last year. And they talked a lot about breath. And that was very nice.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's also very fascinating, because our breath is so highly connected to our emotions, like you said.
Yeah.
So if we, and it works both ways. It works. So let's try something. So if you take a moment to close your eyes, and whoever's listening can do so too. And you bring to mind something that feels like a frustrating thought or a lacking thought or an annoyance. And you notice how your breath is. Notice what it feels like to breathe. And then give your body a little shake. And then maybe allow a smile to come across your face, even if it's fake. And think about something that feels joyful, or the sound of a baby giggling, or fresh air. And notice what it feels like to breathe. And then go ahead and give your body a shake. And open your eyes. Do you notice a difference there?
Definitely.
It's like these, and then that works the other way.
Yeah.
So we can notice what we're even thinking about by the way we're breathing.
Exactly.
And vice versa, yeah.
Yeah, and when I started diving into like personal development and all of that, I started with like techniques for my mind and mindset and how to shift my mindset. But I've realized I wouldn't say more powerful, but for me, it's a faster route when I start in the other way, like start with my body. When I reflect on my breathing and I realize, okay, when I'm feeling a different way or feeling a like lack, my breathing gets very shallow and harsh, and I can feel my hands are like tightening up. And when I'm feeling love, my breath is longer down in my body.
Totally.
And that was a new way for me to get to know myself.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using my mind and my emotions all the time, just get grounded, because I've, like you, not been really connected with my body a lot in my head and my emotions.
And it can be hard to understand our thoughts by thinking about them.
Exactly.
Know, sometimes I used to say this often, but some things we have to feel our way through. We can't think our way through. And so we have to get a little bit farther from the brain to get a better perspective, or a little bit farther from our mind or our thoughts to get a different perspective. And if you can have a really long inhale, it's going to bring you maybe deeper into your body, so you have a broader perspective.
Yeah. And why do you think we have lost connection to our bodies and especially our breathing? Because we don't talk about breathing that much, and we don't teach breathing in school. And I've never heard anyone talking about how to breathe correctly before.
I don't know, to be honest. I think maybe stress is what's helped us release our connection to breath. Maybe, I don't know.
Mm.
Or just maybe no one talking about it anymore. Maybe it's simply that we've lost connection by way of losing an understanding of it.
Mm.
I think it would be incredibly beneficial to bring it into school, especially for kids. I mean, yoga and asana is one thing, but breath has brought me deeper into my body and more understanding of my emotions and more kinder to myself than the practice of asana. Mm. But I think the practice of asana, again, brings people into the practice of breath. So there's got to be like the Trojan horse somewhere. But I don't know. I mean, if I think about the moments I personally lose connection to my breath, it's when I'm scrolling on my phone or
Same.
Reading an email. And even if it's a joyous email, I just stop when I'm trying to overfocus. And then I have to, I have to breathe. I forgot to breathe. Or watching a scary movie. But yeah, I don't know where we lost it.
No, me neither. But I guess we are living in this Western society very much outside ourselves all the time. Like scrolling through our phones or being also lost in thoughts is actually a very out-of-body experience, especially if you're a good visualizer. And I think I've searched for such a long time a way to make reality seem more real, because I've had like almost like a fog or something going on around my body, or that's what it felt like. But I realized it was my disconnection to my own body.
And I feel like so many people are walking around disconnected from their body.
Like zombies.
100%.
Yeah.
And maybe that's come with, you know, I hate to blame things on social media. But technology and social media, and we're forgetting to get back to nature where none of that exists. And then we can breathe with the trees. You know, you're surrounded by things that didn't forget how to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And something I've realized is the colors on our screens, they're so saturated. So when you look like on something real life, mm-hmm. it kind of feels gloomy.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, so it tricks our brains to thinking that something should look one way. And then when you look at something in real life, like a tree, it feels dull almost.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. After a breathwork session, have you ever noticed colors being brighter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And walking in nature, or anywhere really, you don't have to be in nature, you can be in a city too. After breath work, then it feels like someone has just upped the volume
totally.
Of our colors. And I've noticed that you talk a lot about colors in your
I'm obsessed media. With colors recently.
Why is that?
I have no idea. But yeah, I don't know. I just bought a handful of plants into the apartment. And I think about how looking at this, like these deep greens makes me feel so calm and so grounded. And I don't know. I think that woke up in me. I wonder how people feel around colors and how colors impact us.
Yeah.
Because my apartment is also very neutral colors. It's very earthy colors. And that's what makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
And that was interesting too. It's like, oh, like a lot of bright colors doesn't make me feel safe. Mm-hmm. As much as neutral colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I got really curious of how does a certain color make other people feel?
Yeah. That's really interesting because after my burnout, I had a hard time looking at bright colors, especially on like the TV or something. Mm-hmm. And the way we cut like programs and series and stuff like that today is very fast paced and very bright and intense, and that triggers my nervous system. So I definitely get a harder time breathing and staying connected to my body when I'm looking on those TV shows.
That's interesting too, because I don't think anything in nature moves that fast for that
exactly.
long.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think we all just need to slow down. And if we slow down, we'll connect with our breath just naturally.
Exactly. And colors for me personally has become something I'm very fond of. And I've never thought about this really until I started practicing Reiki and Reiki healing. Because my Reiki energy talks to me in colors.
Oh, fun. I get so envious when people have that connection with colors and Reiki.
Yeah, because you do Reiki as well. You're a Reiki master.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. How did you start doing that?
Oh, it was really on a fluke. And I came back from a yoga teacher training, and a dear friend in Brooklyn, her mom was coming up from Virginia to teach her Reiki. And she asked if I wanted to join. And I'm a very curious person and a very kind of a yes person. And so I said, yeah, why not? And so the only prerequisite was to go get a Reiki session from someone beforehand. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I found somebody on Instagram who then became a big teacher for me.
Wow.
Her name's Erin Telford. And I went to her for my first Reiki session. And she was just south of Midtown, I think in like 20s or something in New York. And I didn't love being in that area because it's so fast-paced. And I remember not thinking much of it. I didn't know anything about Reiki. I knew it was for stress reduction and relaxation. And, for calming the nervous system. But I didn't really know. I knew it was hands-on technique. Mostly hands-on technique.
Yeah,
I didn't know much about it other than that. And I remember being in the session and feeling like my body just have a really comforting weight over it. It's just almost as if my body had been tense my whole life. And it had just everything released.
Yeah.
And it almost made me, like even thinking about it now makes me a little bit emotional. And then I remember walking out into New York City just feeling so present and so non-triggered by noises and light. And just, it was phenomenal. And it's not, that feeling doesn't happen every time I receive Reiki.
No.
But that was my first experience, and that was really eye-opening for me.
Mm.
And then that weekend, I dove into the Reiki practice, and my teacher was amazing, and the group was wonderful, but it wasn't for me. I just thought, I'm good.
Wow.
I'd rather just receive Reiki. I don't want to give anyone Reiki. I don't want to do Reiki on myself. I just want to go to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't grasp what was going on within the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made it harder for me to offer it to someone.
Yeah.
And so I continued to go to sessions now and then. Mm-hmm. And then when I was waiting for my Swedish visa to come here, I was living back at home for a few months, and I found a Reiki practitioner there, and I went to a session with her, and something happened during the session that made me feel like I really wanted to deepen that practice. And so I studied with her, not wanting to ever teach it. but for the Reiki masters, you had to teach at least one person.
Yeah.
And so when I came back to Sweden, I have a dear friend here, Josephine, who let me teach her. Mm-hmm. And then that just kind of opened the floodgates for other people to come in. And I think I have almost 200, a little over 200 students in Sweden.
That is amazing. And I got into Reiki healing in the same way, actually, because I wanted to calm my nervous system during my burnout last year. And I took a course in the first step of the Reiki, which is very hands-on. And something opened up for me, something I hadn't really looked at in myself. And I also had a very hard time accepting that, because I am a very analytical person, and I've studied a lot. I'm in academia, and now we're talking about energies.
Mm-hmm.
Something you cannot touch, it's not tangible. And that was a lot for me to take in. So how would you describe Reiki for someone who's never tried it or know anything about it?
It goes back to that same, it's like a fruit you've never tasted.
Exactly. Plus it is as well.
I take my students through this a lot. How would you describe Reiki to someone who's never experienced it? Mm-hmm. And I always say, go back to your own experience. Mm-hmm. What has Reiki been for you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Reiki is a hands-on technique. It's based in Japanese tradition.
Yeah.
That helps the body heal the body through energy, which we all have.
Yeah.
And some people, if you look at it, you look for it in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can remember this. It's often described as a Japanese healing technique for deep relaxation and stress reduction that promotes healing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it recalibrates. I don't think anything heals the body but the body.
Mm.
That's a bold statement, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really what I've come to believe is true for me.
Yeah.
And all, whether it's Western medicine or Eastern medicine or whatever medicine, helps the body to find a state of equilibrium and harmony and balance, so that the body can eventually heal the body.
Yeah.
Reiki does the same.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
Mm.
The one thing that messes with my mind if I think too much about it is that I'm very analytical, science-based, but somehow I'm able to balance between the worlds of science and metaphysical, which I'm grateful for. But I often lean a little bit more to science, and I'm trying to, always come back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
We talked about this before, that there's this beautiful study. There's a book called Energy Medicine by Jill Blakeway that I highly recommend if anyone's interested in energy medicine and the different techniques.
Mm.
And she talks about how there is this machine created that sets out, a frequency that helps to heal bones.
Mm-hmm.
And that frequency was also measured in the hands of Qigong practitioners.
Wow.
But even for me, I've been practicing energy medicine for 6 years, and that's still my brain is like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
How can the picture?
So it's hard for the especially the Western mind, to comprehend mm-hmm. something that I've heard within the Eastern practices is so inherent. It's like, mm-hmm. of course this is within you. Of course exactly. this can happen.
Yeah.
Where we're like, well, you need a 4-year degree for it.
And that is so interesting, because I'm battling this right now so much, that we have so much knowledge inside of us and our body carries so much knowledge, and you actually don't, I'm not saying that you don't need to study, because I think it's a brilliant way of learning and learning about social interactions and working in groups and expanding your mind in one way. But it's also a very closed way of looking at the world when you're in academia.
For sure.
And in some way, you give your power away to someone else to tell you what you already know. Mm. And I'm battling this right now, to trust myself and to trust my instincts. And it's not an easy task.
No.
It's not. And for me, it's easier to wrap my hand around, like, the physical practice of Reiki, when you're putting your hand on someone, because there's a lot of studies been done on that.
Yeah, and touch therapy.
Exactly. But when you're giving someone an energy healing, like remotely, or you can tune into someone's energy, is all across the globe. That is a lot to take in, and I totally relate to all the skeptic people out there
100%.
that don't believe in this mm-hmm. because it sounds wacko.
Yeah, because yeah,
it is.
It is. It's like, it kind of is, but yeah. It's the same like 100 years ago. If someone said, yeah, you'd be able to call your mom who lives in New York and see her face
exactly.
on the screen.
Yeah.
We would be like, what? How is that possible?
Exactly. Or tuning into a radio station. Mm-hmm. That's the same way.
Same thing. It's all these energy waves. And it's, and I usually tell people, you know that feeling that you're thinking of somebody and they contact you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're getting on that same frequency.
Yeah.
When you're doing distance Reiki or distance energy healing.
Yeah. Yeah, everything is connected in a way we cannot really grasp, which is weird and exciting, and every emotion I can think of at the same time, but it's also very beautiful.
Yeah.
And that in itself is very empowering.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So my Reiki talks to me through colors. How do you experience it?
I very rarely see colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get very excited when I do. But yeah, it's more sense, like feelings in my body.
Okay.
So if I'm working on someone, whether it's hands-on or whether distance, my intuition is that I feel in my body where the healing is taking place in their body, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Or where the balancing is taking place in their body, or where the Reiki is going to their body, however you want to describe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can say, like, okay, I feel something, like, I feel a big heaviness on my shoulders. Okay, that's like, that's where we're working. Or I wonder if they feel like they're under a lot of pressure.
Mm.
And so it's kind of like a puzzle piece in my mind that begins to work.
Mm.
Not always the case, but mostly that's how it comes through.
Mm.
Just to I let my hands go where they need to go.
Yeah, and that's... that's interesting, because I feel that's where I don't trust myself, like with my intuition, and because I see colors, and I actually, when I do distance Reiki, I see the person laying down or sitting up, it doesn't really matter, and then I see like pops of color where my Reiki is working, and depending on what color it is, I can connect that to like an emotion or a state of being or something that has happened.
Oh, fun.
It's very fun, but it's also a lot to trust, because it's all happening inside of me. And as we talked about before, no one else is telling me what everything is meaning. I just have to trust myself.
Yeah. And I think a really good teacher will do that. They won't tell you what something means.
Exactly.
They'll tell you to figure it out on your own. Because just because something means something, if cold hands mean something for me, it doesn't necessarily mean the same for my student. And I don't want to ingrain that in their brain.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I had a talk with a friend and he's a skeptic. And one of the things he's most skeptic about is that you have to tune in to yourself. And not only in energy medicine, but in this whole alternative health sphere. And he thinks that when you do that, it's not really trustworthy. So he thinks it's better to trust someone else with your problems, because how can you trust yourself? Because everything means a different thing to everyone. And how can that be true? There's no right or wrong, really. And that, I totally relate to that. That's why I have a hard time trusting myself, because blue means something to me and blue means something to you or something else to you. So I understand that, but it's very disarming to look at the world like that.
Yeah, I think so too. Lots of times I usually say that I'm not teaching Reiki, I'm teaching the art of learning how to trust.
Wow.
Because I think that's what the practice is. Whether you call it Reiki or call it something else, you're learning how to trust something that you cannot see or you cannot feel.
Yeah.
And an intuition of insight that comes through.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes, I totally understand that. And I totally relate to how he feels. But it's like, well, what if I just trusted it? What if I just, like, even if just for today?
Yeah.
Five principles just for today. I just trusted a new experience, or opened myself up to a new experience and curiosity. Because I think if what blue means to you in a session could be what green means to someone else, but you saw it in your language,
exactly,
which was that blue.
Yeah.
And then that's how you explain it. You don't have to say, I saw blue. You can say, oh, it feels like there's a calmness running through you.
Yeah.
Whether it feels like there's a deep sorrow running through you, whatever blue means for you. And then to see if that resonates. So it's just kind of like deciphering that symbol.
Yeah. And deciphering symbols and emotions is what we do all the time.
All the time.
But no one is telling us how to do it. And I guess that's where we kind of get stuck. Like, I need some sort of right or wrong, or some sort of tool, or some sort of revolutionary thing to get the answer, when the answer is very simple. It's just, what do you believe it is?
Yeah. Which comes back to trust.
And
it's okay not to know.
Exactly.
That also, like, maybe I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't need to know how Reiki works, but can I trust that it does because of my experiences with it.
I watched an energy video with Lee Harris. I watched his energy video last night, and he talked about this, that we have a collective right now which is very led by authority, and now we're moving into a new way of living where we have more self-leadership.
Love that.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we don't need leaders, but it just means that we can take back the control, I guess.
And take your power back, like you said earlier.
Exactly. And that's our goal with this podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not telling anyone what to do, but we're opening their minds to different ways of doing to kind of collect what fits for you. And that doesn't only apply to health. It applies to everything.
That's the beauty of choice.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, we started talking about breath work and then we ended up talking about the collective. And that's the beauty of health, I guess.
You and I can talk about so much for so long.
Yes, definitely. And I wanted to end our conversation with five quick questions.
I'm not very good with rapid fire, so bear with me.
No worries. No worries. If you would host a dinner with five guests, dead, living, or imaginary, who would you invite?
I like the imaginary. Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, right now, since it's been over a year since I've seen so many friends in the States,
yeah,
those would be my dinner party guests. Mm. But apart from dear friends and family, last... when was it? I think it was at the end of summer, early autumn. I went and saw the exhibit. I don't know if I'm going to say her name right either. Hilma of Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would love to have her at a dinner
party. She's amazing.
So her and Mary Oliver. I don't know if you know Mary Oliver, but she's an incredible poet.
Yeah.
Maybe probably a lot of writers. Joan Didion. You know Joan Didion?
No, I don't.
There's a really good documentary about her on Netflix right now. But she's an incredible, very interesting and intriguing writer.
Yeah, because you write a lot as well.
Yes, I love to write.
And I love how you make the reader... Because you write a lot on your Instagram, and it's very poetic. And you communicate feelings so well through writing. That's a beautiful gift.
Thank you. It's been a strong medicine for me that I try not to keep hidden too much.
Yeah.
You know who I really love? I love stand-up comedy.
Oh.
I don't know if that's what brings me, like if I'm really down, I have to turn on some kind of comedy.
Wow.
And I know he's pretty controversial, but Ricky Gervais, I think, would be an interesting person to have at a dinner party because of his controversy. I would love to just get behind the way he thinks or his beliefs. And he's there's no filter, it feels like.
Yeah.
So him. Have you ever seen the OA?
Oh my God, I love that show. It's a show on Netflix.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, definitely tune into it. I'm sure it's still there.
Yeah, probably.
But Britt Marling. Mm. Gosh, I hope that's the way I say her name, Britt Marling. Or Marlin. So. I would love... I don't know if you've ever heard any interviews with her.
No, I haven't.
Oh, she's so interesting to listen to.
And wow.
Incredibly intelligent. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to have her there too.
That's five amazing guests. So, if your life had a theme song right now, which song would it be?
I heard this song on someone's Instagram post today, and it actually made me super emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But I Get By with a Little Help from My Friends. I think the original one is by the Beatles, maybe?
Yeah.
But it used to be the theme song for this TV show called, I think it was The Wonder Years. Am I aging myself?
Okay. I haven't seen that show, but
maybe it's an American show.
Yeah.
Either I'm aging myself or it's an American show. I think it was their theme song. But yeah, I Get By with a Little Help from My Friends. I wouldn't get on with my day-to-day without them.
Mm.
Absolutely not.
So if you could make every human being on this planet only do one thing to improve their health, what would it be?
Breathe. breathe better.
Yeah.
Learn how to breathe.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Learn how to breathe properly. And yeah, if everyone, if you read the breath book by James Nestor, it's really, he breaks down so much of the science and then, and then some.
And what are the top three things you need to feel good?
Nature, and not necessarily being out in nature, but surrounded by like flowers or plants. And a good conversation.
That's so healing. A good conversation.
Good conversation.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
And lastly, who would you like us to invite to the podcast?
All my friends. thinking of who I invited to the dinner party. Oh, there's so many incredible people. My teacher, one of my main teachers, she's also someone I would consider a dear friend, but she's in the States. Mm-hmm. Or she might be in Canada now, actually. I don't know where she is. But her name's Allie Bogart, and she's incredibly wise and funny and such a great conversationalist. So her, or over in Denmark, there's a dear friend named Kelsey, and she helps women with postpartum. So she helps mothers with postpartum.
Wow.
So I think that would be another very good one to have.
Yeah. That's a topic we're going to talk about more in the podcast.
Oh, fun.
Because my friend and colleague, Natalie, is pregnant.
Oh, yeah. So Kelsey, that might be the way to go. She's really, really dedicated and passionate about postpartum care.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And there's many others I'd invite, but those two are top of the mind.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michelle, for coming and for our lovely conversation.
Yeah, it's so sweet to chat with you. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for all that you're doing with the podcast and putting out into the world.
Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to take a course or book you or would like to work with you, where do they find you?
My website is michellebaker.co. So everything's usually up there. There's a link to the newsletter too. Or Instagram is usually where I'm in and out of. So that's __Michelle Baker.
Okay.
Those are the best places.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.